Pesach.
Welcome to Brutal Brunch with your hosts Matt Moore and Matt Mastermorrow.
What do any of you know about being brutal?
Featuring Massachusetts metal and punk.
Those lyrics about hell, demons, and doom. What if I told you it's all real?
WMFO Medford.
What the prime time, bitch?
All right, welcome to Brutal Brunch here. A lot of activity in the studio right now.
Oh, my God. Everything's broken.
But we are good to go right now. Welcome
Baba
to
Booey.
Welcome to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. Streaming live on WMFO.org. Yes, I think we're ready.
Good morning.
We recovered from, I don't know, a lot of things happening in the studio. But Matt's frantically...
I'm frantically fixing the metal history. It somehow got lost. I'm not sure what happened. It's not good. A lot of internet problems today.
A lot of problems. All right. So you're listening to WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. Matt? Yesterday, the spring book came out. Do you see this? The ratings are out, and we are officially the number one metal show, Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. on WMFO.
Woo, once again. Take that, everyone else.
4 years. 4 years going strong.
Hell yes. I mean, no one's going to stop us. Who's going to stop us? Who's taking the ratings book?
Nobody.
Dennis O'Callaghan? Because they get the Red Sox game?
We could. We could just start ripping on other DJs here.
That's what I'm going to start doing.
Have our ratings tank.
Here we go. Mitch Scarry, you're on the docket.
World Cup is tomorrow. World Cup final. Are you excited?
I am, because I'm a huge Croatia fan now. I was walking up and down the street with my sweet red checkered scarf. Because we were talking about it, because I can't stand England.
All Why? Of it.
The accent. I hate the English accent a lot.
How can you think? Why? What's wrong with the accent?
I hate the English accent, and I hate... I don't know. It's... I don't know. I think I hate it because of the next reason why I hate it, which was early 2000s music magazines, which were like any sort of band that came from England that was like... not Oasis, but was like trying to be Oasis, which is like a bunch of like floppy haircut guys. In like dusters or whatever, they're like, "This is the greatest band I've ever heard in my entire life," and I've carried that rage into my 30s, I guess. So there you go, England, jerks.
Do you know about Croatia's problematic history during World War II?
I'm sure they're awful. Like that's the thing. I think I specifically asked you, like, well, not the country itself, but like, look, we all have problematic countries. We're living in one, but like, one of the things that was I wanted to know was like, do their soccer fans do wild racist stuff? Like, like, am I really getting in bed with the devil here by supporting?
They're not as bad as some other countries, but yes, they have in the past.
The Italians are pretty bad. So
one of their players got suspended 10 games one time for leading a white supremacist chant.
All right,
after game.
You know what, soccer, you're on notice. Like, what am I supposed to do here? Like, what team? I'm not gonna root for England.
Period. Wait, it just dawned on me. It just dawned on me, though. They already beat England.
No, that's what I'm saying.
They're playing France.
That's what I'm saying. I guess I could root for France. Should I, though? France sucks.
France is pretty nasty, their team.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Anyway, we'll have you decide over the next hour.
Thanks.
Who you want to root for, and you can make a final decision at the end. Also wanted to check in on the latest addition to your home decor.
Oh, yeah, I got a nice, you and John got me a beautiful signed Jordan Grace picture, which is...
Is it still in the house?
It's still in the house, and it's not like a real, like, saucy picture or whatever. No. It's just like her
typical publicity
wrestling
still.
Gear
yeah.
being, like, tough, doing tough face. and like it's getting moved all over the house. I'm like, oh, I'll put it there. I'll like it'll sit on my desk, and it's just getting moved everywhere. And it's like the leg lamp basically from Christmas Story, where like I feel like one day I'm just gonna find it like in the trash. Like Maggie's gonna be like, oh, I accidentally threw this in the trash.
Well, glad to hear it still survives. And much like soccer fans and black metal, I feel like wrestling is kind of going in the same route, because I was watching TNA the other day, which is surprisingly entertaining again.
TNA's
at least
fun.
Parts of it.
Parts of TNA are fun.
So they have Su Yang.
That's all
you
can get from wrestling.
Su Yang is their Knockouts champ, right?
Yep.
But they also employ...
Can I ask you a question before you get into the actual news about Su Yang? Did she wrestle other places before? Because she's like a... The character that they have on TNA, it's like she barely wrestles. She just kind of like... She's like beyond wrestling. Like she shows up with like her dead brides, and then like she'll like do like a fireman's carry, and everyone's like, oh my god. Like they sell her like she's like 1991 Undertaker. Like any sort of move she does is like devastating.
That's perfect.
Okay, I like her. I think it's a cool look, obviously.
It is awesome, yeah, and she's been around for a while. But I wouldn't even call it news, but like with all the promos of TNA, they're promoting Rich Swann heavily.
I saw a match with Rich Swann, watching TNA. It was a good, it was like a, to divorce yourself from like Rich Swann's like problematic past. Like it was a great match, like in terms of like the moves, sweet moves. But I was like, I forgot why Rich Swann got released from WWE, but it was because of like.
Assaulting Su Young.
Yeah. Oh, assaulting Su Young. Oh. Wow. I remember it was like a domestic assault. I didn't know it was going to connect like this.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So that, and that's what's so weird. So, like, yeah, he was WWE Cruiserweight Champion. Obviously, he's a talented wrestler.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they are both employed by the same company and seem to be getting along, at least on the surface. The charges were dismissed, and she, like, promotes the promotion for his matches and stuff on Twitter.
Really?
But it's very strange. Because I was thinking about that. I was like, there's so many. And Austin Aries is their champion, right?
Yep.
Fighting Moose. I have that right? Austin Aries beat up D'Angelo Williams the other day.
That's great. I love when football players get involved in TNA. That's always the best TNA.
But it's just like, I guess at some point, like, do you just have to, because there's nowhere to turn at this point. Like, how do you, you just have to, if you want to enjoy the product, there's a lot of baggage that's going to come with it.
Well, this, I mean.
That's beyond just like the basic sleazy history of wrestling. But
wrestling. Do you know what I'm saying? All wrestling.
But especially now, again, with the information age, you know all the stuff that happens. Like,
that's
I'm sure 20 years ago, nobody would have heard of anything involving Rich Swann or.
That's also probably true. But I mean, like, it's funny now because, like,
you would have seen Austin Aries what he did to Christy Hemme, but
true, you would not. But have heard you would him. Hear. It's almost like the context in which you hear it now, because it's like, for sure, you heard, oh, Ric Flair, he's going on all the play, and like, remember the Ric Flair documentary, whatever, on 30 for 30, and you're like, yeah, Ric Flair would just rub his naked body on me on the plane, and like, because it happened in the 70s, everyone's like, ha ha. But if like today, if like, I don't know. Brian Cage was just like rubbing his nude body on everyone on the plane, there'd be like 9 Jezebel articles about it, and I'd agree with them. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's ridiculous.
So anyway, just wanted to get that, because we talked about black metal, where you basically it's impossible to find.
It's not
a band you enjoy. It's not impossible.
A Bath is out there,
but I'm sure there's something you can find on a Bath anyway. All right, enough talk. If you want to call into the show, number here is 855-915-WMFO.
The number one show.
855-915-9636 or 781-350-3264. To borrow a phrase, the number one metal show in the mornings, ball bags.
The number one metal show in the world, ball bags. It's me, Pharrell, and I'm here to say I love Brutal Brudge. Wow, I can't believe Pharrell was in studio. Unbelievable.
Thank you, Pharrell. All right, we're going to play some new music. Some brand new music from Evocation.
I'm calling the hockey game over here. You just put me on while the game's on. People did that. They should be put in an asylum if anyone actually did that.
What?
On his show that used to be on XM, he would sync himself up to playoff hockey games, so he would give you the call. So in case you wanted like a more butt rock call of your hockey game, Pharrell would give it to you.
So you do play by play?
Yeah. You would do play by
while watching.
Alternative play by play, I guess I would prefer it.
Unbelievable.
I have a long-standing feud with Pharrell.
I didn't understand that. I know you weren't a fan.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk about this feud.
He stinks.
All right. Well, you know what doesn't stink is Revocation, and they're back. with their latest track called Of Unworldly Origin. Their album, The Outer Ones, drops on September 28th. You can watch this music video, very entertaining, very campy, involving witches. Check it out. You're listening to a Brutal Brunch, WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
I'll be the kid.
Welcome back to Brutal Brunch here at WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. You just heard the latest from Garrotted. I believe that's the first time we played that band on the show, which is shocking to me.
I like the Witch video, too. That was good.
That was an entertaining video. Because before that, you heard Revocation with their latest track of Unworldly Origin from The Outer Ones, which drops on September 28th. Garrotted, you can see a couple times on the upcoming week, but before we get to that, we have to do metal history. Before we get to metal history, I'm going to do a PSA for an event happening today.
Ooh.
July 14th.
Oh. Bastille's Day.
It is art. That's true. So there you go. One reason to root for the French.
Yeah. You know what? I'm rooting for the French now.
Today,
friendship ended with Croatia. New friends with France.
Today is the Artbeat Festival in Davis Square. Artbeat, one of the largest arts festivals in the region, takes over Davis Square on Saturday, July 14th. That's today. The festival features more than 25 live performances of all varieties. Music, dance, shows for kids, and quirky stuff that's hard to categorize. There's something for everyone. Expert hula hoopers, crowd-oriented salsa lessons, and good old-fashioned rock and roll, and some black metal, to name a few. I added the black metal thing, because there's something for everybody. The square will be filled with more than 75 craft vendors, food stalls, activities for kids, and other fun stuff. This year's theme is Flip, a celebration of all things upside down. RP takes place from 11 a.m., that's in 2 hours and 40 minutes, to 10 p.m. in Somerville's Davis Square this Saturday, July 14th, a message from the Somerville Arts Council and your live performance loving friends here, that's us, at WMFO Medford Tufts Community Radio.
That's me. Also, next week, Pizza Stock.
It's in 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Oh, yeah. 2 weeks. Guys?
Welcome to This Week in Metal History!
Something bad happened with metal history this week.
We're sure it is this week in metal history, right?
It is this week in metal history. I emailed it. It got lost, so I had to kind of hack it together. Big thanks, per usual. I know I usually say this, but there's a This Day in Metal Twitter account, which occasionally diverges from the music we really like, because it's more hair metal and glam metal stuff. But I usually use that as a good, which I like sometimes, which I use as a basis. But This Day in Metal, give it a follow. He's a fun guy, fun person. But Matt, July 7th to the 14th, things I found that were interesting. The first thing that's very interesting is the film License to Drive with the Coreys.
Department of Motor Vehicles are going to be handing
released.
Your license.
30 years ago this week.
What is this?
Okay, so this is the film License to Drive starring Corey Taylor. Corey Feldman and Corey Haim and Corey Taylor. And Corey Graves. So it's just like an 80s comedy where they have to learn how to drive and then they steal a Ferrari and they get new adventures.
What is wrong with you?
He fails his driver's test. You've never seen License to Drive? What kind of millennial are you?
I've heard of this.
Incredible. Great movie. Anyway, he goes on a date and the girl gets too drunk. It's very good. A lot of lessons to be learned from
coming of age story.
Feldman and Haim. The number one, of course, being don't do drugs. July 11, 2006. Cattle Decapitation releases Karma, Bloody Karma. The cover of the album is like a bull. With, like, is it Vishnu, the Indian god, who has, like, all the arms?
Okay.
And he has, like, a cleaver in each arm. It's pretty sweet. These guys are serious. Here's another thing that I found, again, thanks to this segment, that's introduced me to so many bands that I obviously missed, because that was two. But July 12th, 86, the German band Destruction releases the album Eternal Devastation. So, it's thrash metal at this point, but pre this album, there was an album called, Sentence of Death, because they're German. And it was blacker. It was more like a German black metal thrash.
They shouldn't have changed.
And this album is good. Destruction by Devastation could be my pick of the week this week.
Ooh.
I almost forgot something.
By the way, the deity you were thinking of is Shiva.
Shiva. Sorry, guys.
If you'd seen Temple of Doom.
I don't like Temple of Doom.
Neither do I.
Anyway. Devastation. More importantly, And I have to look it up now because we're doing this on the fly, baby. One of the two holy icons of Brutal Brunch, Helloween, releases the album on July 8th, 1994.
I like we say how we say one of two when there's like 18.
Master of the Rings. I mean, besides these guys and Creator, who's on the list of
Hammerfall?
I guess Hammerfall.
Angela.
Okay, so Angela, Hammerfall, Helloween, Creator, Sully, Irma. That's it. It's tremendous, as you can imagine. It's Helloween. One of the greatest bands of all time, as far as I'm concerned. another thing that I didn't know about, but a band that I would say if I were making an 80s thrasher movie or slasher movie, I would play this 80s thrasher band. This is Hallows Eve with the album Tales of Terror, their debut album. It sounds exactly like you think it would sound. Okay, go with me though, right? You're making a movie, right? Your villain is like... Do you ever see that movie, what is it? It's like not Blood High School or like Slaughter High. You ever see Slaughter High?
I think I saw the beginning of it.
It's terrible.
There's a bunch of those high school.
Yeah,
Return
okay.
to high school.
This is like Slaughter High 2. This soundtrack's playing. The killer's chasing you down the hallway.
Well, I mean, yeah, because there's like there's camp and then there's this. This would. I would not enjoy that movie.
You're not scared of this right now? I feel like I feel like Nancy Reagan is.
I mean, this would be more like this would be a psychological horror for me.
I want to show you the album cover, which looks like it was drawn by like me in like seventh grade. It's just like a it's a sweet like executioner guy.
Yeah, what's his name from Silent Hill movies or video games?
Pyramid Head.
Yeah,
you know what I'm going to say that it is. I like that album. That's fun. I think it's a fun. If you're, I recently. By recently, I mean last year, or maybe even 2 years ago, put together a Halloween playlist, because I feel like when you're making a Halloween playlist, you basically get to Spooky Sounds, Thriller maybe, no. Ghostbusters, but do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm talking about your basic ass Halloween playlist. But like, if you really get into it, you get into stuff like, oh, I could play that. I could play Hallows Eve, because this song would be in a horror movie.
Fair enough. We had a very different Halloween playlist.
I don't think so. July 13th, 1984, Grim Reaper releases the album See You in Hell. Hey, Matt. See You in Hell. It's sweet as hell. So much 80s thrash on today's episode.
Definitely hell.
You'd like this. Come on. Come on. Look at the album cover. The Grim Reaper riding a sweet horse. It's purple. That's good. That's good. You know what? This is so good. You're going to listen to this while you read the concert calendar. But, Matt, maybe your favorite band and one of the 700 holy icons of Brutal Brunch, Megadeth, releases the album Countdown to Extinction. This is obviously Sweating Bullets. Which I'll skip forward. That's This Week in Metal History. Thanks for bearing with me as I kind of did it as
I thought.
Thank
you. Thank you for recovering. No.
Thank you. Hang on. I need to give you some nice background music.
No. Thank you. So now for the concert calendar this week. Tonight, at Bright Music Hall, you can see Armored Saint, they're performing Symbol of Salvation in its entirety, along with Act of Defiance, the band Act of Defiance. They were on our countdown. At the Midway Cafe, you see Death, Kiss, and Fat...
I'm not going to ask questions.
It's the Death, Kiss, and Fat Tongue Music show. They are presenting Il Mostro, Doug McCormick, and the Dream Behemoth, Belices, and Jim Healy. At the Wilson Thompson American Legion Post 185, a.k.a. The Tank, you can see Children of the Corn, the K, it's a Corn cover band.
Is it?
Grizzly Curse, Once We're Kings, Hero and the Horror, Rival Cinema, and Counterfeit, which may or may not be a Limp Bizkit cover band. Tomorrow, the 15th, at the Palladium, it's the Faceless. They may or may not show up with Lorna Shore, Discarnate, Dead Eyes, Always Dreaming, White Lights, Averst, and Attack and Division. At O'Brien's Pub, you can see Greylock, Wanderer, Shroud, and Sink or Swim. And 13th Floor Music Lounge has Upheaval, Mavrodoxa and Bellower. On Monday the 16th at Great Scott, it's Arrowhead, Lesser Men, Aneurysm, and Gauntly. Tuesday the 17th at Ralph, it's Cemetery Filth, Church of Disgust, Garroted, Part 1, and Bacterial Husk. On Wednesday the 18th at the Xfinity Center, Matt will be there. It's Evanescence and Lindsey Stirling.
Hell yeah.
And Friday, July 20th at Ralph's, it's, oh boy,
Wake Me Up
the Ark from New Zealand, Antichrist Siege Machine, Desolate, and Angel Morgue. And finally, at 13-4 Music Lounge, you can see Incontinence, Zenesis, Averst Part 2, and Garroted Part 2. So there you go.
Are they just playing different songs? That way it's Part 2?
Well, no, because you have to see them both twice.
Oh, I will see
Averst
Garroted
is playing twice.
Twice.
Garroted is playing twice.
You tell me you don't like this Grim Reaper track right here? I was going to say, tell me who the current lead singer for Armored Saint is, because...
Do you know?
No. That's going to be big, right? Like, when's the last time they were even on tour? He passed away in, like, the late 90s. Anyway. You ready for Black Metal Song of the Week? Are you prepared?
I don't know.
You'll never finish this. No one's going to figure this out.
John Bush?
Yeah, but
on
he's...
On the vocals?
I think he's dead.
I don't know about that. It says...
Sorry, guys.
Dave Pritchard died in 1990.
Okay, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Anyway. Black Metal Song of the Week is new from Immortal.
Ooh.
Their
first... Can you imagine that it's 2018 and we're announcing new music from Immortal?
I mean, I don't want to say that we're 100% responsible for it as the number one metal show on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m., but we are 100% responsible for... The Return of Immortal. New album, Northern Chaos Gods. We're going to play the single, Northern Chaos Gods. It's been 9 years since their last album, and obviously in between there's a split from Aboth.
An acrimonious split.
And some of the talk was like, Aboth snatched their songs to put on his own album, otherwise they would have had an album sooner than 9 years. I've listened to most of this album so far. It's good. It's like it's really fast. I guess it's like Blackened. It's not as Lord of the Rings as I like some of my Immortal stuff, but it's real good. Northern Chaos Gods, Black Metal Song of the Week.
All right, it's Black Metal Song of the Week, and you're listening to... What are you listening to? Brutal Brunch on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. When we come back, we're going to talk about some Friday the 13th music.
Number one.
Or movies. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Brewer Brunch here at WMFO Medford 91.5. I'm streaming live on WMFO.org. You just heard that was Immortal with their latest Northern Chaos Gods off the album of the same name. That album has been released, right?
Yes.
All right, good.
Last check out. Soon, hot, fresh. Certified fresh.
Certified fresh by Brewer Brunch.
Only the hottest, newest releases.
So today is Saturday the 14th.
And today was his birthday.
Yesterday was his birthday.
And yesterday was his birthday.
So we were inspired, or I was inspired, and then just decided we were going to do this, but you dug up a video.
I did. I was listening to a lot of bad movie podcasts recently, and one of them was talking about, and this is going to come up too, is like, I like pretty much all the Friday the 13th movies. Like, I like them all. They're all, I mean,
all
some
12 of them.
Some better than others, obviously. And I've never actually seen the remake, like the new, whatever that was, 2015. But
2009.
I was like just browsing around on YouTube for like, give me a ranking, internet people. And I watched some ranking and I was like, this is bonkers. I'm going to send it to Matt because you're like
that guy was just some hipster a-hole.
Official
though,
like, horror guy. Yeah, he was like also was like rating 12.
He was also rating on as if he was like Siskel and Ebert and the technical direction of the films.
Right. That's a
that's not why you would watch Friday,
to watch Friday the 13th. Yeah. The shot composure of this, the shot composition of this scene where he stabs Kevin Bacon through the neck with an arrow.
Butter. He's like, there's bad acting in this scene, and this scene has the fakest head I've ever seen.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
like,
it's bad acting.
Yeah.
Well, but then he said, we want to get into your list, because this guy, I think his name was like Dead Meat or something on YouTube, but he really liked Jason X, saying like, it's intentionally
that
campy.
Was absurd.
But that's like the thing where like, if you're somehow younger, if you're much younger, you're like, oh, the movies were always supposed to be campy and dumb. And like, I don't think so. Do you know? And so that's why you see Jason X, Jason Goes to Space, as like, this is the epitome of the movies, because it's campy, it's the campiest and the dumbest. But like, I don't think they're supposed to be campy and or dumb. I think that's just, or if they were, it wasn't intentional, right? And so like, you get into this kind of like postmodern era where it's like, we're intentionally bad. And I don't think that's what this horror franchise was ever supposed to be.
I don't think it was really supposed to be bad.
Or camp, like, well, silly.
And it wasn't, I mean, a good example is Evil Dead was supposed to be legit scary, but they had horrible resources and Bruce Campbell's debut or whatever, and they then hammed it all up for the sequels.
But anyway, Friday the 13th, probably my favorite horror movie
franchise.
It's definitely my favorite, like, of the three. Right, of like,
I was
your
gonna say,
Pinhead,
what would you consider? Yeah,
Freddy Krueger.
The Hellraiser
Jason.
Franchise is incredible.
I love Jason.
You left out Halloween.
Yeah, but I don't. Okay, so that's
Nightmare on Elm Street. What about Child's Play?
Ooh,
or Alien. Some people would say Alien.
I'm not gonna call Alien a horror movie. Straight up, maybe the first one. So okay, so for my franchise, I guess I go Alien. No, I'm gonna go Friday the 13th. Right, then I got I guess Nightmare on Elm Street. Then Hellraiser.
All right, how many Hellraiser movies have you seen?
The second one.
Exactly. That is a severely underrated franchise.
Yeah. I like him.
They put
like
out a new movie this
that
year.
One. That's crazy. They have to stop.
That man decent.
He's getting very pudgy, and you got to stop.
It's not him. He's
done?
He's out.
Okay. Anyway.
So back to Friday the franchise. See, I sent you a, because to help you keep track of them, it was kind of like word association where... For a lot of people, if you say, yes, Friday the 13th part 7, The New Blood, would be like, I don't know what
you're talking about.
But yeah, then like, if I say Friday the 13th part 7 is telekinesis, you're like, okay, now I understand.
We've had this conversation like a bunch of times, and you're always like, what's your favorite one? And I'm like, 4?
Cause you
and
were
you're like, no. And I'm like, whatever the one with Crispin Glover is, that's my favorite.
Because you're like, oh, number 5, he goes to hell. It's like, no, that was 3 films later.
Yeah, so like you divide the movies up like, you can say 1, 2, 3, right? But then it's like, okay, this is the one with Crispin Glover.
Well, because 4 is called the final chapter,
this
and it
is
was
the one,
by far not the final
not
chapter.
Not even close. This is the one where he comes back from the grave. This is the one with Creighton Duke. This is the one where it's not even Jason.
Creighton Duke's one of the best characters ever.
I love Creighton Duke. I love George Washington Duke.
All right, so you didn't rank the films, but I did.
I did.
Because I love lists.
You do
I made
love
you
lists.
Come in and listen to 50 songs for New Year's Eve.
I was there.
So number 12, starting from the bottom of the worst, is Jason X.
Yeah.
Jason X is an absolute travesty.
I can see that. I'm
it is
that.
The only one of the series where I watched. And so if I walk out of movies, because I think I've only walked out of like one movie in my life.
Oh, which is it?
Jason, Kung Pao, Enter the Fist. Incredible. The best part about that is that we walked out of that and into Rollerball, the remake.
You guys are idiots.
So anyway, the Jason X, so the scene when, because then you have like Mecha Jason, when all the nanobots resurrect him, and the robot lady, like when they like squared off, I would have just thrown my hands up and left the theater. It was so bad.
I think, I don't think it's like a very, it's not my favorite Jason movie, but it's not like that bad.
It's bad.
It's,
The characters are all, he blows up a space station of a bunch of people. Like, because one of the things, if you rank like the kill counts in the slasher movies, it's like, well, technically he killed approximately 20,000 people, or however many people were in the space station.
Yeah, he killed the whole space station.
So ridiculous, which was like,
it's the highest kill count movie ever.
Yeah, well, I mean, the space station too was like supposed to be the refugees from Earth, which was dead or whatever.
RIP.
Oh my God.
Yeah, not good. I'm not going to disagree with you on that. I don't.
At least Lexa Doig was good in it.
The guy who was like the main like army guy on the spaceship who like fought Jason and then he like tackled Jason into space at the end. No, you didn't like that part?
See,
he's coming at the spaceship. He's like floating slowly at the spaceship. I can't think of his name, the actor, but like the actor has on his like jet pack and he just like tackles him into the sun or something.
At least Hellraiser in space is like, they do a pretty cool concept with it.
Well, wasn't there a puzzle box in space?
Yeah, well, this whole space station was a puzzle
box.
That's not. And it's like, they did it canonically, so it's like, this takes place in 200 years, so
Jason's
so
not
you
a
can't retcon
he's
it.
Not a cerebral villain.
Yeah, oh, it's so bad.
Fair. Anyway.
Even the setup is as bad as usual. Like when he's cryogenically frozen and she steps up to him and he stabs her through the door, it's like, this is unnecessary. I need this.
Maybe.
And anyway, it's bad. It's bad.
No, you're not wrong.
Number 11 would be Friday the 13th, A New Beginning.
Which is?
Put out the year of my birth. It is a Jason movie without Jason.
Without Jason. Okay, that's the one. Okay. Weird choice.
And actually, I was flipping through, I have like this big coffee table book of the Crystal Lake memories. It's like the history of, said the complete history, but it was made before the reboot. But they were talking about how like they didn't really know what the ending was going to be at the time. And so, yes, if it's not really spoilers at this point because the movie's 30 years old. Mm-hmm. 30, right? Everybody talks about it. But so it takes place at not a mental institution, but like a house almost like a transitional house for people with mental issues or whatever, or going through hard times, at addiction, whatever. And one of the residents kills another one. And it turns out to be the guy who gets killed is a son of a EMT, an ambulance driver. And then mayhem breaks loose. Jason's killing people. But then at the end, they kill him. And the mask is off. And it's the ambulance driver from the beginning of the movie.
Ta-da! It's stupid.
It's. I mean, that's all you need to say, really.
I would say that's worse than Jason X, quite frankly.
See, but at least Jason there's entertainment value. Because like, there's one scene. I
don't know if I just told you this, but a man tackles Jason into space.
But you don't have the kid coming bursting out of the barn on like a lawnmower to chase Jason.
That's fine.
And that's see, they're like that. New Beginning made me laugh. It's so bad. It's funny. Whereas Jason X is just bad.
Yeah, Jason X has that like sheen of like late 90s on it too.
It just looks bad.
Bad. Yeah.
All right. So moving on, number 10. I'm gonna put the reboot.
Okay.
Granted. Oh no, I lost my note. Is Aaron Yoon? I would say the two good things about the movie were just casting decisions. One was Amanda Rigetti, previously from The O.C. The other was, I believe it's Aaron Yoon. I lost my notes now. God. But he is...
Fool?
I don't have it. Anyway, he's the Asian actor that they cast, and he is hilarious. Like, incredibly entertaining.
So
again, makes me laugh. But otherwise, this is a pointless remake.
Do they make him like less mystical and more of like a backwoods survivor?
Like he captures the girl at the beginning, and then her brother, the dude from Jerem Padalecki or whatever, the dude from Supernatural, is looking for
Dreamboat.
And yeah, it's just kind of,
it's weird they made him like a guy, because like I feel like Jason like using traps and stuff is like, why? He's a robot monster. Like, why is he doing this?
Yeah, I would say. And then there's supposed to be another reboot, but then that's in developmental hell. Currently, they don't need to make any more of these movies.
No, you can just stop.
Because that's one, like, what, Hellraiser? You can adapt to, like, modern things and, like, I don't know. I guess you can play with Halloween, but, like, Friday the 13th was so campy and, like, so kind of 80s backwoods. It's, like, it's very hard to modernize.
No, it is what it is.
All right. Let's move to number 9. Again, this was a movie I told you that when it first came out, I thought it was one of the greatest thing. There was years and years of anticipation for this movie, Finally got a director. Finally got a storyline. It came out. I was like, this is great. I watched it. I loved it. I was like, there was one Freddy kill in it, and it was amazing.
Freddy vs. Jason.
Then I tried to watch it again, and I can't get through it anymore.
It's bad.
Freddy vs. Jason.
Yeah.
Directed by Ronnie Yu. And, yeah.
I love it. I love it.
The Freddy vs. Jason fight is incredible.
Yep.
When Freddy like pops the tops off the propane tanks and they go flying at Jason.
I like the whole movie. I like that he scares Jason
with the water.
With water,
It's also great because he's like using Jason to because he's trying to get back into the memory the heads of the people of
he uses Jason as like a dog.
But yeah, essentially, and you have like the fake Jason Mewes character.
Great.
Who gets annihilated?
Unbelievably violent kills in this movie.
You have just.
Kelly Rowland from Destiny's Child being extremely problematic on film for the rest of her life.
But yeah, it's like there's a fun factor to it, but it's pretty brutal watching it.
Sure.
I went down a rabbit hole of Edward Furlong news yesterday because I was trying to figure out what happened to Monica Keena, formerly of Dawson's Creek. And Monica Keena, yeah, I don't think is doing too well, Carly. She was a star of Freddy vs. Jason.
How's Edward Furlong doing?
No. Back in rehab again.
Oh, no.
You were talking about Hellraiser looking kind of pudgy at this point.
Oh, yeah. He's puffy.
Is pretty gone. So, yeah, it was very disappointing, but it's not as bad as the other three movies. Previous three movies that we talked about. Number
eight. It's the best Versus movie. How's that for you?
What
any
other
movie
ones
that
are
has
there?
Versus in the title. All the Alien versus Predators.
No. Requiem is very entertaining.
All the Alien versus Predators are worse than Freddy versus Jason.
Are there any other Versus?
No, I'll think of some. Jordan versus Bird for the Nintendo.
Number eight is the eighth movie in the franchise. Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan.
Unbelievably great movie. Jason Goes on a Boat is the name of this movie.
First of all,
and he had that purple suit.
By definition.
Look at me. I'm doing Italian chef's kiss over here.
By definition, a lake is a body of water that is surrounded on all sides by land. Yeah, in this movie, a cruise ship shows up in the lake to take them to the ocean on a cruise.
That makes a lot of sense.
So, yes, Jason gets resurrected, grabs onto the anchor, pulls himself up. He's on the boat.
Gets shocked by lightning, which is kind of like...
No, that's part six.
But is he also resurrected by, like, kind of electricity?
No, it's like the boat's motor kind of wakes up. It doesn't really make sense.
The boat's motor wakes up.
I can't remember at this point. But he punches the boxer's head clean off, which is...
Incredible.
Incredible.
Incredible movie.
He scares off a street gang.
He does the best... throwing of objects in this movie. Like, if you want to get killed by throwing a spear or throwing a hammer, this is the movie that has it. He throws everything in this movie. And the suit is purpley, right? It's a different color. He's wearing like a different color worker, like, mechanics outfit in this one. He's changed his style up for some reason.
Alternate costume.
Yeah.
So that was number eight. That was kind of like, everything from there was just like pretty bad. Pretty bad movies. Various degrees of entertainment. Number seven, again, the seventh movie in the franchise, The New Blood, which again involves telekinesis.
It does.
It sounds stupid, but they make it work.
It's good.
Although it's very odd because, so again, we're talking about problematic characters. Weirdly abusive father somehow comes back to his reanimated corpse, helps save her at the end.
It makes sense.
It's kind of weird.
We all know this makes sense.
But.
It's not good.
No. However, the movie itself overall, again, making the concept of telekinesis kind of work well.
And there's good shots in it, too. Like, she brings down the whole, like, front of the house.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a lot of
destruction.
Good practical effect. One of the parts that I will say is bad about Jason X is, like, because for some reason when it turned 1999, everyone's like, I can just do this on my computer. But you're making a movie, like, in the 80s and the early 90s. If I'm going to blow this building up, I kind of have to just, like, knock this building down.
Yeah.
You know, so it just always looks better. Always.
Agreed. Number six, I would say, is Friday the 13th, Part 3, which is in 3D.
Iconic.
It was iconic. Again, the eyeball effect is one of my favorite scenes of the entire franchise. When he squeezes the guy's head, the eye pops out and it comes flying at you through the screen.
There's so much weird. It's so funny watching 3D and not 3D. I was watching Jaws 3, and there's so many scenes of people going like ridiculous, like, or I have like this paddle, like, whoa, it's at the camera, whoa.
There's a scene where it's like overhead, like a guy just like juggling.
Yes.
And like, why are we watching this?
Just because it's 3D.
what was the other great, I don't know, some great 3D effects in there.
Well, he gets the mask, right? That's the important part of that movie. He gets his hockey mask.
That is the first movie where he has the mask.
Right. a shocking fact that should have been covered in the Scream franchise when they were asking quiz questions about those movies.
That's true. Everyone always associates that Friday the 13th is Jason. Well, Jason didn't show up until... Well, no, he does show up in the first movie, but he's not the killer in the first movie.
For sure.
And he also doesn't have his mask in the second movie.
No, he has that crazy bag on his head.
Which is actually a pretty awesome look.
It does look good. It makes him look like a crazy hillbilly.
Number five... Again, the spotlight on Creighton Duke steals the show. Mm. Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday.
That guy.
Widely panned as one of the worst movies in the franchise, but it's pretty rough, like some of the acting, or a lot of the acting, but it's a great movie.
I don't know if you saw the part where a man eats a heart out of the tape. It's like incredible. It's Tony Todd, too. Is that a Candyman?
No, I don't think it's Tony Todd, this one.
Okay. Anyway.
But Kane Hodder does show up in that opening scene as himself.
And he gets exploded.
Before No. Well, yeah, his zap. But no, then you see him.
Oh, and as himself. That's right.
And then, I should say as himself, playing a character other than Jason.
Doing the Kane Hodder workout program.
You see like this opening scene. This woman's getting chased through the woods. Typical setup, right? Jason. And then all of a sudden, the spotlights turn on. The FBI shows up and literally blows Jason up.
Like helicopter. Like every gun on the earth is trained on Jason and he explodes. It's incredible.
But for whatever reason, the doctor doing the prepping his body, doing the autopsy, just can't resist eating the heart.
You got to figure, if you shot someone with like an aircraft carrier or whatever, like you're like, I don't know if guns are going to do it here, guys. We might need some magic.
So then this parasitic worm thing.
Yeah, that's Jason.
Goes from host to host.
That's canonically Jason. He's a worm.
He's a worm. Gets transferred from body to body. A great scene in the diner where a bunch of diner owner patrons and waitresses are getting killed. They're attacking.
They
put up a fight against Jason.
Interesting thing about
they do not win.
That movie, too, is like everyone's a Jason fan. Like they go to the diner or whatever, and they're like, here's some Jason fries that are like covered in blood.
The Jason burgers.
A Jason burger. It's so stupid.
Oh, it's great.
Why would he be like your town's calling card? Like 50 people were murdered like months ago, like years ago, not like hundreds of years ago.
Well, why wouldn't he be? He gets publicity.
True. You know what? It's right. This is America. You got to sell it.
And then Creighton Duke, when he snaps a dude's fingers in the jail.
I love Creighton Duke.
And Creighton Duke, unfortunately, he puts up a hell of a fight.
I'm going to problematically go as Creighton Duke for Halloween.
All right, let's move right on now. Number four, Friday the 13th, part two.
Yeah.
Starring Jason with a bag over his head.
Great. I love it.
Where they kill off Alice right away.
Good.
Again, everybody, you know, you brought up Scream, the horror movie rules, where people from the original always get killed off.
Sure.
And rightfully so. Here.
He's taller in this movie, too, or thinner, maybe.
I feel like they didn't have the long-term vision for him at this point.
Yeah, they're like, I don't know, he's tall?
And he was basically human.
True. Also true. Well, the mom was human.
And And then the end scene at the end when with the mother's head, shriveled head on the table, but then the girl survivor pretends that she is the mother.
Yeah, with the sweater.
Mm-hmm. All right.
The unfortunately canceled Friday the 13th game that was got sued by the current whoever owns the IP.
Franchise is on hard times right now between the game and the reboot.
It's lame. It's a great game.
All right, number three. This might anger you that it's not number one.
I'm furious right now.
Friday the 13th, the final chapter.
I'm furious right now.
Featuring your boys.
Did you see Crispin Glover do that dance? How is that not the number one movie of all time?
It might be the number one moment in the franchise.
That could be the number one moment of my life.
Corey Feldman shaving his head. Dressing up like Jason. You have the twins.
Yep.
You have the... who is like the punk kid that's in the house, too?
That whole house party is ridiculous.
The house party is unbelievable.
It makes no sense. They're putting on random... Actually, not Loudness, but Lion is featured on the soundtrack. So I remember from Metal History a couple weeks ago.
All right, number two, the greatest sequel, might be the greatest sequel of all time in my franchise. Friday the 13th, part six, Jason Lives.
Sure. Got to agree. Tommy Jarvis. He's got that cool coat.
Because you see from the fifth movie, because it wasn't Jason, but he's not convinced that Jason's dead. So logically, he goes to Jason's grave and then stabs him with a metal pole.
Point of order, why did they bury this monster zombie in a graveyard? Where people can see their loved ones, and they put a huge headstone there too. It's ridiculous.
I mean, you know,
he should have been in like the ghost containment thing from Ghostbusters.
Well, they could have cryogenically frozen
anything.
But yes, he gets resurrected by lightning. It's the first incarnation of zombie Jason.
Incredible,
and it's amazing.
Great effects too with the weird, not snake face in that movie, but like just that weird, like lines, like just because he's like rotted away.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
And then finally, kind of a cop-out, but I'll say number one is Friday the 13th, the original one.
I can't disagree with
again,
that.
Again, the movie with the second least amount of Jason in it.
It's got Kevin Bacon in it. He gets stabbed with an arrow. Incredible acting. I think he says two lines in that movie.
It's great.
Good
it's
list. I like
almost
that
as good as Johnny Depp's debut in Nightmare on Elm Street. And, of course, the debuts. I don't know if they were debuts, but Jennifer Aniston in Leprechaun.
That's true, too.
Also a great early movie.
But she succeeds.
All right. Your thoughts? Any parting thoughts?
I like that list. I think you're too harsh on Jason X. I think Jason X is, like, better.
It's the only one I don't own.
The one where he's not Jason. Do you know?
No. Not thing involving nanobots rebuilding.
Nanobots.
They blow him up kind of in that movie, too.
He can't explode.
There's like, no worm.
That's a good list. Better list than that person we found
on
the
internet. Yeah, well, that guy, because we had to right the wrong that was that video.
That list angered me.
All right. So that brings us to the end of the show. Mercifully, stay tuned for Mike on the Mic next. We're going to end things with another new song from the band Actor Observer. It's called On Your Laurels. Their album that I can't really pronounce, Pareidolia, will be out on August 24th, and they'll be playing a CD release show, or an album release show at Great Scott that night. So check it out. We'll be back next week, same place and time. Until then, stay brutal. You're listening to WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.